Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in.
It's Eagles time because I refuse to call this football.
It's going to be bad. Welcome in. Just getting word, Brandon Cooks also declined to participate this evening. So I believe Nico Collins and Brandon Cooks are almost all of the receiving yards for the Houston Texans. Both will be missing.
Smash O.J. Howard.
I want the Philly defense so bad this week.
Oh, I've got him.
Yeah, you
for fantasy.
You won't get him from Jason.
I did try last night.
Impossible.
Not from my cold, dead hands.
So, yeah, Thursday Night Football.
So let's see here. I mean, this is really a cold open for us. But
very cold.
But we're you ready for some Chris Moore, Philip Dorsett action tonight?
I mean, you had me at Philip Dorsett.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a busy show. So, Mike, good news. We do not have to talk about it. Never Not Working, News and Notes, Fantasy Forecast, Starts of the Week, the Boom Boom Kicker. I don't know your expression on your face, Jason.
Oh, I was just running through what Mike said and realizing what is about to happen, which is Damian Pierce is going to touch the ball 30 times. They don't have a choice. He's going to get screens and dump offs and handoffs no matter if they're up or down or whatever, and I'm playing against them.
Yeah, but are they going to be very valuable touches? I don't
Not
know.
Likely.
Not
Especially
likely.
Especially when Sexy Rexy sweeps in and steals the show.
I hope so.
Couple things at the top. Twitter at the FF Ballers. Follow us over there. Follow Mike at FF Hitman. Jason is at Jason FFL. I'm at Andy Holloway. And our fantasy football community, where you get access to a ton of very valuable in-season tools, including the Stream Finder tool. It's invaluable on the decision-making process throughout the week to be able to go in, determine not just what you're doing this week, but what you're going to do in weeks to come. One of my favorite tactics in fantasy is making sure I pick up a defense a week early so I don't have to pay up big time on the waiver wire for them and different things like that. You need quick and easy tools to do so.
Yeah, this is also the time of year where you do start looking ahead. Like in draft season, we talk about, like, don't worry about the playoff schedule unless you're in best ball or something. That's too far away. You don't know anything yet. Right now, start looking at the playoff schedule. If you're on your way and you're, you know, 6-2, 7-1, or you're just making trades and you're wanting to take a look, you can look at this the strength of schedule. You could select it for playoff weeks. You can change it to schedule adjusted defensive ranks so that you can have really good data for who might win people championships this year.
So check all that out at jointhefoot.com. You also get a bonus weekly show, some other premium perks and resources.
Bonus.
Thank you, Mike. What else was I going to say? Jason, do you mind if I, you know, share with the listenership the note I got from you yesterday?
Oh, please.
And you know, with the producers who are all here this morning. Yeah, there were some traits.
A lot of traits.
In our league of record, because we are, very passionate fantasy players, and it's almost like, a small spark starts a fire of trades in our league. Somebody makes a deal.
I made two of them yesterday to just solidify my position as the best team in the league, and it looked like my division was
weird. It didn't work.
Was great because the other player who's tied with me atop the division, they're selling.
And yeah, they're out this year.
And so it seemed like I was going to be all alone.
So I made a couple of blockbusters to compete.
You threw up the three. I can't. Who's the Laker player? The GIF.
Yeah. I don't remember the player, but everyone knows the GIF where he threw up the three, turned around, put his hands up.
He's signaling for the three as it rattles out. Oh, Nick Young was what was
yeah,
his?
Yeah, it was Nick Young.
What was his nickname though?
Stupid guy.
No, it was he had a funny nickname.
But anyways, I got Jason. He had his visceral reaction to me making some trades, starting to compete.
Swaggy P.
And when I got back home, I had a note from Jason, and it said, quote, "Good luck this season. Glad you are back in it. Always more fun with you to compete with."
Yeah, as a true gentleman says.
Oh, man. What reverse jinx are you up to?
I am just trying to be
No.
I'm trying to be the best version of myself I can.
Bologna.
I was a little surprised.
Did he send you a pizza?
He hadn't sent me a pizza yet. But look, I it's spirited competition. We've been in the same division for 15 years. So we will continue to do so. So, it's going to be fun.
If you get,
I don't have the heart to sell ever. I realize this. Like, I want to go for it. It opens me up to more pain on a regular basis, but I can't not go for it.
Understand.
So I'm gonna give it my all. All right, let's move on.
Never not working. Presented by Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield Technology, available at Walmart.
It's everybody's favorite segment.
Yeah, it's great. This is where we do a deep dive and check out some, all sorts of different storylines and statistics. And for this one, we're going to be talking about, the difficulty of the sample size that is the NFL. You only get 17 games. You want to react. You don't want to overreact. And the midway point is a good place to start looking at. Have trends from the beginning locked in? Have they flipped? Like we've talked about, the Bengals, their pass rate had kind of changed over the last month. The Seahawks, their improvement. We wanted to focus on what looked like juicy matchups for your fantasy players, and maybe on the over. If you're just looking at overall points given up, they still can look like that.
Which I just want to throw this out here as groundwork for what you're saying. The reason this is important is because every platform that you play fantasy on will show you the opponent, and they will color code the opponent.
Yes, they will.
And that will make your brain think I've got it made in the shade or I'm in trouble, but it's over the course of the whole year that they're giving you that matchup grade. So it's important to have a more narrow view of what's happening with these teams.
Yeah, so for example, let's take a look at the New York Jets. And Andy highlighted the Stream Finder, a tool that if you support the show, you can go check out for yourself. But it's extremely helpful for this type of a thing because we color-code it as well, so you can quickly highlight the trends. At the beginning of the year, you remember those Joe Flacco games where he was thrown 40 times a week? Well, that's because the New York Jets were getting just roasted by other teams. Quarterbacks were putting up huge points, but over the last month, the New York Jets are third against fantasy quarterbacks, as in the third worst matchup when you adjust for schedule. Things have totally turned around, and that includes like a game against the Miami Dolphins, the Green Bay Packers. Like, these aren't just nobodies coming in here and getting shut down by the New York Jets, so you need to pay attention to the Jets are no longer looking like that juicy matchup. The same for the Baltimore Ravens. When the season started, it was, oh, baby, here we go again. The Baltimore Ravens offense is going to be high-powered. Their defense is going to be just disgusting, and it's going to give us just these huge shootouts every single week for Lamar Jackson and company. Like I said, started the first 3 weeks, here we go. But since week four, Baltimore, ninth against quarterback adjusted for schedule, and theirs can be really distorted. If you remember that week two against the Miami Dolphins,
oh, that
monstrous
game was,
they poured on so many points against the Ravens that it was going to skew their total number for a very, very long time, and you got to wrap your head around, no, it's simply not the case.
And they just added Roquan Smith.
Yes, and they've improved their defense as well. So, pay attention. The Ravens are not, if your platform is giving you green means go against the Ravens, you may want to consider that for your fantasy quarterbacks. And then the Tennessee Titans against running back, the first 2 weeks, the most fantasy points allowed to the running back position. And that was, okay, well, Saquon Barkley, okay, I get it. But then the Buffalo Bills, and at that point it was, here we go. The Titans, fire up your running backs against this team. Couple down weeks, well, I'm still looking at those first 2 weeks. But at this point, the Tennessee Titans have turned it around. Or, you know, Jonathan Taylor, the Washington running backs, Damian Pierce last week just shut them down. And they are no longer that situation where you have the first 2 weeks skewing where they are. Even if, like, the platform shows, well, it's a middle of the pack. No. It's been very, very bad for fantasy running backs against the Tennessee Titans. So you have to adjust. You have to always be prepared to shift your thinking of how a defense – because defenses can change their situation in just a few weeks once they get that fire and the momentum, and or a player gets healthy and you're not – look, knowing all of the offensive players in the NFL for fantasy football, that's a task unto itself. But when you mix in knowing every single defensive player, that's a whole nother beast. And people out there, I do not blame anyone for not knowing all the defensive players, but one player can come back, change an entire situation for defense. So always be looking at the trends. How is it just, was that a one-time blip? Or do we now have new information about this team and I'm no longer targeting them?
And if you want to know actionable advice for what you do with this information, if you understand that Tennessee is a tough run defense now, that changes what player you might be flexing this week. You might think that you need very little upside from a flex position if you think your running back's going to dominate a defense that's green. That might not be the case. So it lets you kind of fine-tune that situation.
Like, they play Kansas City this week.
Yes.
You know, we're all getting a little excited here for Isaiah Pacheco. Named the starter last week. Was getting the snaps. Can things start to turn? And he's running into it's still the Chiefs, and they're going to put up points, but it's a very difficult matchup for him on the ground.
All right, Jason, anything to add to the equation here?
No, just make sure you're keeping your eyes on the trends and don't get skewed by those first couple big weeks. Otherwise, you know, when you have those outlier weeks, you'll think TJ Hockenson's going to be good every week because he's, you know, he had a 45-point single week.
Yeah, and I'll say it works in reverse, by the way. Difficult-looking matchups might not be as difficult later in the season. So when you see the red, go look in the short term. See if it's a better matchup than you think. It's also a good way to persuade people on certain trades. They got a hard matchup this week. You know, there are some things you can do there. So
yes.
A reminder, get up to 100% dandruff protection that is never not working with Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield technology, available at Walmart.com. Use it every time you shampoo and see the difference.
News and notes from around the league, presented by USAA Insurance.
Guys, I'm dying right now because Brandon Cooks has been reported, at least by Ed Werder and a retweet by Adam Schefter.
And Rappaport,
that he's not playing tonight. But I'm sitting here on the sleeper platform 4 minutes before waiver goes through, and I need him out. I need him marked out, and I don't have him.
I think Owl is correct that perhaps you do not have the official out from the team.
No.
Hey, I was just saying.
The rules only matter when they apply to others.
I assume that the official out will be coming in about 5 minutes.
I was going to say, I'm going to get the OUT right after waivers process. Whatever, man. But no Brandon Cooks. Not that you really wanted to play him against Philly.
Correct.
With all of this tumult. So it is clarity for you early in the day, and you can make other plans or move him onto IR or whatever, because he's got a, quote, wrist problem, guys.
I can't believe they didn't trade him.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it.
I don't know what to do here, because he signs a two-year extension with them this past offseason to make, what, $12 million a year or something like that? It's a lot of money.
Sure.
And then it's like, I'm supposed to feel bad that he didn't get traded at the deadline from the team he just signed a two-year deal for. I don't know behind the scenes, but
I'm sure
sign the deal?
When you're signing the deal, they are also pumping you up. They're pumping you up, and they're pumping up the team. These are the changes that we're making. This is the culture shift. We're going to be a winning franchise next year. And
if he believes that, I've got... What is it? I've got oceanfront property in Nebraska to sell you or something? I mean, that Houston wasn't going to turn it around this year.
Well, it seems like there's, again, stuff behind the scenes we don't know from the last couple of weeks. The fact that he's been missing practices, less involved in the game plan. It seems like there was discussion about him leaving to a winner, and that didn't happen. And so
he's not happy.
Very, very upset to the point of not practicing and apparently hurting his own wrist.
Well, and I don't even know the implications for his pay. If you are unhappy,
he'll miss a game check.
And then you think he'll come right back?
I don't know.
Well, you know, he did say, don't take a man's kindness for granted. Covered for the lies for too long. Those days are done. Cross the line with playing with my career. Bow and arrow emoji.
What are you doing?
This is why we need Twitter in our lives. Yeah.
What are you doing?
All right. I can't stay with Brandon Cooks. We got too much to cover. Jonathan Taylor did not practice on Wednesday. Tweaked the same ankle that held him out two games earlier in the year. Frank Reich said the team will weigh his progress as the week progresses. So they signed Jordan Wilkins off the practice squad.
They brought in a bunch of running backs to try out for that, and there was some reporting that this is going to be expected over the next couple of weeks, is that he's probably not going to be practicing much. We don't know if he's going to play. Yeah, I think there's a good chance that he misses this week.
Yeah, and I agree there's a chance for that to happen, but working out players for the practice squad, calling one up from the practice squad, that's going to be part and parcel with the Nyheim Hines mood too, though, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, they did get Zach Moss back, so, I mean, it was a one-for-one player.
That's true.
Be prepared that Johnny Taylor's going to miss.
And if that's the case, Deion Jackson has been excellent for fantasy purposes in his one start without Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, maybe. It was so many
receptions. No, that was in the past. I can say that.
Oh, yes. Yes. An accurate.
He was the number two fantasy running back in his one start. That's all I'm going to say.
Very accurate. Do you have the receptions in front of you?
A lot.
I think it was
10.
10, yeah.
Yeah,
from Matt Ryan. Yeah. Different quarterback, different situation, and a terrible matchup.
You're saying he could hit 15 or 20?
Against the Patriots.
Look, people need running backs. I'm looking across the table at somebody that.
Wish I had Deion Jackson to play.
Thinking about Justice Hill as an option this week. So, what are you doing? What are you going to do at running back?
Don't you worry about it.
Okay. All right. I'm not sure. Keenan Allen, hamstring, got worse during the bye week. That's, the frustration is immense right now because he missed a lot of time and then couldn't get back healthy. So, he's not going to play.
The way he has spoken about this new re-aggravation is that he felt really, really good in week 7, but he wasn't 100%. And now he is not going to come back until he is 100%. Now, it took him over a month to get to really, really good, but not 100% going into week 7. So I expect he's going to miss several weeks.
I mean,
it's TBD. It's just a matter of how long it takes a body to heal.
Someone in our MVP show in the offseason brought up Josh Palmer as a potential league winner. Josh Palmer is alone. I mean, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, they are both going to miss time. That was Josh Norris, I believe, that
yes,
brought that
it
up.
Was.
And I believe our view of that MVP pick was like, somebody's got to go down for Josh Palmer to step up and do it. Both of their main targets are down. Austin Eckler is going to be, you know, the offense. So Palmer, he did clear the concussion protocol. He will be playing, we believe. And DeAndre Carter is a dart throw. I mean, you need to at least cast your eye in his direction.
Gerald Everett will be more and more involved at the tight end position.
Absolutely. Cardinals, James Conner, limited on Wednesday. Darrell Williams placed on IR. They are back to the rotation of potentially Eno with Conner, Eno with Ingram. You know, this is...
That's Keyonte Ingram.
That's right. And so James Conner, I mean, it's hard to say he's going to be out there and hard to say what to do with him even if he is.
Difficult to start a guy who's been missing this long and every single week he's a game-time decision and not able to go. When he comes back, very hard for me to imagine putting him into my starting lineup. Obviously, with 6 bye weeks, you might have to. There's worse options starting. But if you can, let James Conner come back to his first game on your bench. That would be my advice.
Cooper Kupp did not practice on Wednesday. So this is Rams updates here. Cam Akers plans to return to the team and practice on Thursday.
Man, that situation is so funky.
It is. And then on top of all the question marks, you know, they signed Malcolm Brown, they have Daryl Henderson, they have Cam Akers maybe coming back.
Don't forget about a Rivers runs through it.
Yeah, yeah. Ronnie Rivers, who's the darling of some fab waiver wires for some reason this week. But Kyren Williams, looks like he may be elevated to the active roster. Rams feel pretty good about it, according to The Athletic's Jordan Rodriguez.
Yeah, Kyren was a good running back in college that all three of us really liked his film. He ran slow at the combine and weighed in.
Very slow.
Yeah, very, very slow.
Backwards.
And he didn't weigh in as a heavy guy. So sometimes, you know, the slow backs that are bigger bodied, whatever, you forgive it. When you're a smaller, slower
guy. He's still running the 40. Yeah.
It is rare to succeed. So he fell to the fifth round, fell in fantasy drafts, but he was a player that looked great on film, we all liked, and now has an opportunity to come in and say, well, everyone else sucks. Let me have the first dibs. But it is a crowded backfield with a bad offensive line. So I'm not – he's a good stash, someone to be aware of, but I don't anticipate he comes through, you know, gigantic for fantasy.
Any other news breaking this morning?
Not yet.
Nothing? Do you guys have anything else you need to – oh, Cordero Patterson returned to practice. Well, he feels about 90%.
Yeah, I thought we had mentioned him. He was designated to return, but we did get the quote that him saying he was 90%. We still don't know if he will play this weekend.
All right.
Please play.
That was today's News and Notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll be into the forecast. Hey, Foot Clan. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How's it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, 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 and social gatherings, they pick up and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire. Get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/footballers. All right, it is time to dig in. Week 9, here we come. Let's break it down.
Fantasy forecast.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, Deucers. I remember the drop this time.
Good work, host of this podcast.
You guys doing well today?
Doing great.
We've got
how's the alley? What's the smell factor in that alley tonight?
Yeah. How are you guys doing?
The smell factor.
Yeah. How bad does it smell in your alley?
Is it pee-pee?
Poo-poo? It always smells great.
You guys
back here.
Go to the bathroom in your seats, right?
It's the alley, of course.
And no comment.
They're all wearing hats too, so it must be very bright in the alley.
Yeah. When you don't have hair,
Al Borland putting on the sunglasses.
Good work, everybody.
Okay. Well, good talk. Good talk.
See you later.
Goodbye. The Los Angeles Chargers at 4-3 take on the 4-4 Atlanta Falcons, division leaders, champions of Kyle's heart.
I love these two teams. These are my two favorite teams in the league, but one is in first place.
4-4.
When does it turn to where you just want them to run away with it, Kyle? The Falcons.
It has to be now. Because
you've wanted the number one pick, but now it's like, at this point, do you just want the division?
Oh, I love Arthur Smith now. Right now, he's fine.
Yeah, I mean, aren't you looking forward to getting blown out at home in a playoff game? Because right now, they would be hosting a playoff game.
That's good stuff.
All right. These are two teams with two different offensive strategies. I believe Justin Herbert has 50-plus passes in two consecutive weeks. Marcus Mariota
has yet to hit 50 attempts on the season?
Probably.
I don't know.
That's probably not true, but it's close. The Chargers' fifth and pass rate over expectation. Arthur's plan is to win the division, I guess. So you can't really argue with it. I mean, you can. We do all the time.
Yes.
Arthur with his stupid face on the sideline calling run plays all the time. I feel like I'm just reciting what happens in the studio on Sunday morning. But, you know, Patterson is coming back. He is a weapon for this offense.
Might be coming back. We don't know for sure if he will play. Yes, he's coming back. But for this matchup, still a little bit TBD. And that makes a big difference because people have been playing Tyler Allgeier. People that I know close to me.
It may have to happen.
Might have to play Caleb Huntley. And so whether or not Cordarrelle Patterson is back makes a big difference. And this is a really good matchup for running backs. So if Cordarrelle Patterson is back and active, I think you start him. I know it's hard first week back, but because the matchup is so juicy and they've waited enough time, I think you're going to want to put Cordarrelle in your lineup.
Yes, I would.
The question is, if Cordarrelle is in your lineup, are you willing to start Tyler Allgeier? He would be the next guy behind Cordarrelle.
I am okay with it, mostly because of the matchup. The Chargers are just atrocious. They're 30th against fantasy running backs, allowing a ton of points to the position. And with it being Patterson's first game back, and Tyler Allgeier he's done what Arthur wanted him to do.
Huntley's been a better runner to my eyeballs, and Allgeier's been a better pass catcher. So it's just confusing. Like Allgeier didn't he have like 30 yards rushing last game? I'm like 15 carries.
He was 14 for 39.
And Huntley had like 91 yards rushing.
It feels very much like a Zeke and Pollard situation between those two guys. Huntley looks like he has far more juice, but there's a reason that they're giving Tyler Allgeier a bunch of work. Arthur's watching the game and seeing that Huntley is the one getting these huge, or not huge, but you know, the bigger carries compared to Allgeier. But I think that Allgeier wearing the defense down, that's part of the plan for them, even though it's highly inefficient.
So after I did the fantasy football community a solid by benching Kyle Pitts last week, he is now the highest he's been ranked in our rankings at tight end since week one. Kyle Pitts coming off a good performance, not just mediocre, a good fantasy performance, up around just under 17 points, I believe.
The hope being that the Chargers will put up points. The Falcons' defense is still bad, 31st against quarterbacks, 32nd against wide receivers, and you're hoping that you get more of a back and forth like we had with the Panthers. So that way they have to use Pitts.
Now, it's possible. I'm worried about the Chargers offense because Justin Herbert thus far this year, it's not been, you know, you look at the beginning of the year and you say, oh, he's old-fashioned Justin Herbert. Well, he played the Raiders, and we know what the Raiders are now. And that's when he was the QB5. Since then, he has not been, you know, his highest finish is QB8 against Seattle in garbage time. He hasn't thrown three touchdowns since week 2. Taking away Mike Williams doesn't help you, and the Falcons slowing the game down doesn't help you. So I am a little bit worried.
I don't blame you at all for being hesitant on Herbert. Herbert obviously is talented enough himself that you're going to start him in a lot of situations, but there are plenty of other players. You know, if you want to – Tua, you personally have Tua and Herbert on the same team. That's an easy Tua for me.
I have Tua in my lineup right now.
Yeah, I mean, most people probably don't have two high-level guys, and it would be difficult to take a good streaming matchup. Like, Kirk Cousins has a really good matchup this week. Would you start Kirk Cousins over Herbert?
No.
I don't think I could either.
Probably wouldn't. I'm trying to trust the 50-plus pass attempts. And that will end up in a better, you know, touchdown percentage than we've seen. Just hard without good weapons.
Yeah, A.J. Terrell, one of the only good defensive weapons for the Falcons. The last report we had, he didn't practice on Wednesday. Today's has not come out yet that I have seen, trending towards not playing this week with a hamstring issue. So you're missing some weapons, but it is a pretty nice matchup. The Falcons are second worst adjusted for schedule against quarterback for fantasy points given up.
What are some other p- potential values in this game. You're still keeping Drake London on your bench, I assume.
Correct.
And then not willing to go the DeAndre Carter route.
I don't know. I think DeAndre Carter is in flex consideration. I mean, Josh Palmer and DeAndre Carter project to be the wide receiver one and the wide receiver two in a plus matchup with Justin Herbert. Both Josh Palmer and DeAndre Carter have had big games for fantasy before. So if you're looking for someone from the waiver wire to go out there and hopefully get you 10 points or the opportunity for a surprisingly big game, I think DeAndre Carter's in play for that.
I am disappointed in his DraftKings price because he's not making my lineup because he's too expensive. He's $4,300 on DraftKings, and I'm like, man.
He's had so much opportunity this year. I know it's a little different because Mike Williams is out, but multiple games of 70-plus percent of the snaps. Last week, 94% of the snaps. Even saw 7 targets and just –
He's a wee lad.
He's not exciting for me.
So Palmer or Rondale Moore, Mike?
Oh, man.
Jason, I think you'd say Palmer.
I would. I think both are good plays.
Yeah, okay. Both are good plays. Rondale Moore is just much safer.
Josh Palmer or Romeo Doubs?
Josh Palmer.
Yeah, I'll go. Palmer for me it's too. Probably Palmer unless Lazard is out, which he practiced.
Can we
yesterday.
Talk about a game I'm very, very excited about?
Yes, let's go.
Is that all right? The Miami Dolphins, 5-3, taking on the 3-5 resurgent Chicago Bears.
Palindrome game. Yeah. I got it first.
That's a point for Jason. DraftKings Sportsbook line, Dolphins -5. The over-under is 45.5. Okay. Miami's offense looks awesome with Tua under center. You have Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. You can take deep shots all the time and get away with it. Gesicki is getting involved. Mostert. Now Jeff Wilson joins the Dolphins offense. You know, the Bears, schedule adjusted against wide receivers, they've actually been pretty stout. They haven't faced Jalen Waddle. They haven't faced Tyreek Hill. That's a tough matchup for anybody.
And they no longer have Roquan Smith, so that will affect
their
entire defense will be affected by that. I would expect that the Bears defense takes a step backwards in a tough matchup and gives up a ton of points. I'm all in on the Miami side of the ball. Not quite as in on Mike Gesicki as I have been. You know, I think the last 2 weeks looked good for him, and I started him last week. I haven't checked our waivers. Let's see.
You let him go.
I did.
You let him
okay.
go, and you pivoted to Robert Tonyan.
Yes.
So in that heads up matchup, you'd go the Tonyan route this week with what's going on at tight end. He's a valuable piece of this offense, and what you're hoping for is this game to hit the over. That Justin Fields continues to exploit defenses with his legs, moving the ball down the field. Herbert and Montgomery are a tandem that gets the ball moving, and then you've seen it. Like, the Dolphins' defense, schedule adjusted, they're awful against quarterbacks, running backs, and tight end. They're not good. And adding Bradley Chubb this week is not going to make them good overnight. Game's in Chicago. I hope this game we can get a bit of the Miami Dolphins-style shootout we've been getting lately. Like, last week, Dolphins went down 14-0 against Detroit right out of the gate. It sets you up for so much success. I hope that happens here.
Yeah, and I think that this is a team you can run on. And so that's the Bears' specialty between Fields, Montgomery, and Herbert all running the ball very well. They should be able to come down and score on the Dolphins. So I would bet the over on this. And I think I would be willing to put Darnell Mooney out there. You know, if you're talking about we're saying, you could play DeAndre Carter in a pinch. Darnell Mooney is definitely a much better option. He's been good lately. I am not worried at all week one about Chase Claypool. And I am not in any way, shape, or form starting Chase Claypool the first week on a low passing volume offense where you don't even know his involvement.
Over the last 5 weeks, Darnell Mooney averaging 4 for 67. So not breaking the doors down, but that's usable.
It's a good baseline.
Let me get to the meat of this matchup in terms of decision making for fantasy players. There are people out there that have David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert.
Oh, man.
Herbert was the scorer last week. The week before.
It was Monty,
right? And just for what it's worth, we had been tracking the Monty snap percentage. Monty's snap percentage when he finished as the running back 22 last week was 56%. He had a touchdown. He followed that up with 70% again. He was back into his normal range. He was 70% of the snaps, 18 opportunities. Those went up. He just didn't get into the end zone. Khalil Herbert did. If you're facing that heads-up decision, how does a fantasy manager make the right call?
It's really easy. It's David Montgomery. To me, it is not close. I realize that Herbert can outscore David Montgomery. But if you're looking about last week, and they have packages where they bring Khalil Herbert in and they know they're running the ball, but I want the guy that's on the field. Khalil Herbert last week, I mean, you're talking 28% of snaps to 70% of snaps.
A higher running back attempt share.
Well, sure, but when he's in, because he's not a good pass blocker, you know, like, he's getting the ball, and that's fine. But that split, 70% of snaps versus 28% of snaps,
and
even
Herbert,
if he's the more talented player, I'm going David.
He doesn't
Montgomery.
Catch passes. He had none last week, 3 for David Montgomery. Montgomery had the fumble, otherwise he probably sneaks into the top 36 even in that week.
Yeah, I think you could start both, but it's definitely Montgomery first.
I wish there was better clarity as to what's going to happen the rest of the way. Does anybody have a crystal ball?
Crystal ball handy. And having said all that, if between the two of them this particular week, I would go with David Montgomery. I don't think it's an easy decision, but if they are still going hot hand and David Montgomery is getting the start, I think there's a good chance that David Montgomery gets a hot hand early due to the Miami rushing defense, which, again, improved, but TBD.
Claypool, wait and see until see how he's utilized.
Yeah, if you want to stash him, that's fine, but
Claypool,
it's not like a priority.
A fresh Claypool start or DeAndre Carter?
Anyone else.
Yeah.
I will go DeAndre Carter.
You're worried about just how often he's even on the field?
Yeah, he might be on the field for 10 total snaps, and they...
It's pretty... Beyond Mooney, it's pretty wild what their rotation is right now, because if you think about the names that we've said out loud for the Chicago Bears, you have a rotation, a 5-wide receiver rotation of, like, Harry, Pettis, Velus Jones...
Equanimeous St. Brown,
and I think there's one other one. I mean, they just move him in and out.
And then there's Cole Kmet, who's on the field for every freaking snap.
And never used.
And never getting targets.
The Carolina Panthers are 2-6, Mike. They're 2-6, and they're taking on the – it's a battle of the
– Oh, it's a cat battle.
It's a cat battle. The Cincinnati
– Meow.
Cincinnati Bengals are 4-4. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, Cincinnati at home, -7.5. The over-under is just 42.5 points. That gives P.J. Walker and the Carolina Panthers just 17 points in this road matchup. Now, I think the actual cats in this equation, probably if they were to fight, it's about the same as this football game. Bengal Tigers up in the 440 to 570-pound range.
Okay.
Black Panthers about 150 pounds.
Well, that, I think you're talking about the Black Panther. Or are we talking about a regular Panther?
Were you really giving me the weight of a superhero?
No, I was giving you the actual, but...
Okay.
But
Panther's only 150 pounds?
Yeah.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, that is pretty embarrassing for the
Get
Black
bigger,
Panther,
Panther
community.
Get in the gym.
I mean, what is this, the Pink Panther? Come
Seriously.
On.
Seriously.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Stealing gems? I don't know.
All right, well, so... We expecting any surprises in this game? The we got one last time the Bengals played football. Let's put it that way.
Well, and here's the deal with the Bengals, and one thing that's worth bringing up is that the Bengals season has gone as their offensive line has gone. And
yes.
Their offensive line, you had hoped, oh, they're figuring things out, they're getting it better. But I think a lot of that is some of the schedule that they were playing where they didn't face a good pass rush. You know, 2 weeks ago against Atlanta doesn't really have a pass rush to speak of. And so they're looking good. And everything is being blamed on Ja'Marr Chase. Everything is like, oh, well, Ja'Marr Chase
That's
wasn't
nonsense.
Gone, and so now they can't run,
they
the,
can't
ball,
run the ball,
and they can't throw the ball, and they can't protect Joe Burrow. It's just a matter of, are they facing a good pass rush with this, for some reason, terrible offensive line? And they are facing a decent pass rush. Carolina... you know, they don't have a lot of strengths, but I do think that they can pressure the quarterback. So I don't love smashing the Bengals, even though they're at home off a loss, and like you in a matchup where they're big 7.5 point favorites. I'm not like excited about the offense. I'm not trying to jam these guys in my DraftKings lineups and that type
of. What about Tyler Boyd?
Yeah,
Tyler Boyd's just a solid start.
I think for but even saying all that for redraft, like Mixon, you're playing. T. Higgins, absolutely, you're playing. Tyler Boyd,
you're playing.
Yes, I'm playing him.
Hayden Hurst, you should probably play.
And Hayden Hurst, if there is definitely situations where he's in for you. So,
I'd rather maybe
you're not loving the matchup, but everybody's in.
And then on the other side, Deonta Foreman. Got a Veterans Day on Wednesday. Chuba Hubbard returned to practice.
He did return to practice, but Chuba said he believes he's still in kind of the rehab portion of his injury. So that is very TBD if he's going to make the field on Sunday.
Yeah, I think on the Panther side of the ball, I don't know how anybody would bench Deonta Foreman after last week, so he's in. And DJ Moore, since the trades of Christian McCaffrey and Robbie Anderson, has been really, really good. He's got to be in the lineup.
Do you think that it's possible for DJ Moore? Like, would the game allow him to hit the he's on fire from NBA Jam? I mean, one more week of DJ Moore, and I feel like that might be the first time in his career he could hit on fire.
I think it is very possible.
Yeah.
Three straight weeks of DJ Moore, we've never seen it. So
very exciting.
It's tough. I think you have to play him. What if you have Palmer?
I would play DJ Moore.
Yeah, I would play DJ Moore. DJ Moore also was on fire weeks 2 through 4 last year. Just checked.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What was his fantasy finishes in there?
12, 11, and 3.
Oh, that's back to back. That was boom shock.
And then what happened after that, though?
Let's not worry about that. the next week was wide receiver 58.
Okay.
Did not so reach 50 yards.
He did the, you get on fire, you're so pumped, and then you miss your goaltending swipe, and immediately your fire is gone.
Exactly.
Yes. That's exactly what happened.
That is the worst.
Green Bay Packers, 3-5, taking on the 1-6 Detroit Lions.
Mm.
The DraftKings Sportsbook line, Packers -3.5.
How are those Coach of the Year bets doing, everybody?
For Dave Campbell?
Well, look, here's the interesting thing about this game. The Packers are only 3.5-point favorites. Detroit, this game is 49.5. That's the over-under that gives Detroit 23 points, the Packers 26.5. Not the kind of line you would expect for the Packers going into Detroit.
It's not.
I'm so tempted.
Oh, go for it, man.
And I see Al Borland, the Packer fan over there, and he is just—he knows that this could really happen.
It could happen, but the situation is—
The Packers have lost 4 in a row.
The Packers' defense, though, is pretty good. And the Detroit Lions' defense is not—
Yeah, I'm not betting on the Lions.
Yeah, so I understand the 3.5. I totally get being like, man, the Packers have been struggling. Lions in that shootout last week. But no, I would take the Packers to win this game. And Aaron Rodgers, I think he's interesting for fantasy purposes this week, especially if Alan Lazard plays. If Lazard is out, which he practiced on Wednesday, if Lazard is out, maybe you don't want to go in with Aaron Rodgers. But other than that, I mean, this is an exciting matchup where I'm getting, you know, most of my Packers in.
Yeah, this is a perfect matchup. You've got Detroit at home in a dome with Amon-Ra St. Brown active and healthy.
No Hockenson.
And so in that situation where you're not facing, you know, a top defense, you're not on the road, and you have your main target, the Detroit Lions offense has been able to put up points. I expect them to be able to put up points on the Packers. And they cannot stop anybody from doing anything. So
speaking of the Detroit Lions defense.
Correct. If you want a salve for the struggling Packers offense, it is here.
And if it's not, oh boy, Packers.
Sure. That's a fair thing to say.
Yeah, but absolutely. If they can't score on the Lions, shame bell. this is the type of game where in a pinch you can even start AJ Dillon, who has been unstartable. I mean, if he gets double-digit carries against this Lions team in a game with almost a 50-point over-under, you know, you're talking about starting Caleb Huntley.
Sure.
There are situations where, you know, it hasn't been a usable asset. In a pinch, you can use A.J. Dillon. Obviously, Aaron Jones, who's had a great showing recently, he's a smash start.
Dillon was up in double-digit carries last week, caught a pass, was 5.4 a carry against Buffalo's defense. I like that sneaky start at running back when you have a six-team bye week situation. That is very astute.
It sounded
Morris.
Like there were 16 teams on bye there. That would be brutal.
If that were the case, I would play A.J. Dillon.
Yes.
Sorting through the wide receivers, can you take a dart throw in a game like this, a matchup like this, on somebody like Sammy Watkins?
No.
No.
But you can take a dart throw on Romeo Doubs. I know that it's been hard to predict which games he's going to get a touchdown, which games he's going to straight up goose and drop everything in my lineup, which was 2 weeks ago. But the targets have been there. You look back from week three, eight targets, five, nine, four. That was the goose. And then seven last week where he was 4 for 62 and a touchdown. In this matchup, I know I have personally been frustrated with Doubs. I know Aaron Rodgers has been frustrated with Doubs, but he seems like a fine flex option this week.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, Sammy Watkins played 79% of snaps. My biggest concern is if Lazard comes back, where do the snaps go?
Yeah,
a little bit?
It's fair.
It'd be better for the Packers to keep Doubs out there over Watkins. I'm just not positive they're going to do that.
I mean, he was 80% of snaps, got one target last week, Sammy Watkins.
Oh, I know. I'm not.
So I can't imagine that they're going to play Watkins just straight up ahead of Doubs, is my point. He's not the one earning targets for this offense.
All right. You go with your Doubs. It's a little bit frightening for me. Amon-Ra, play him.
Always.
Yep.
Jamal Williams. Seems like you can play him as well. It won't be pretty, but it will be frequent.
Yeah, especially if DeAndre Swift misses, which he missed practice yesterday, if you did not hear that, which that's, I mean, trending in a very poor direction when you have the excitement of last week, full practice throughout the entire week, the game rolls out, and you're like, where's DeAndre Swift? And he caught a touchdown. He had, I think, five receptions or so, got five attempts, but then wasn't good with them. And then after the game, Dan Campbell saying, I think I gave Swift one too many carries. You're like,
and he said he's not back.
Yeah. So all of that, then to go into Wednesday and he's not practicing, it is highly concerning.
Yeah. And four of the seven games that the Lions have played, Jamal Williams has been a top 15 running back. I think he's someone that should be started until proven otherwise.
The Colts are 3-4-1. They're traveling to Foxborough to take on the New England Patriots, who are 4-4. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, Patriots minus 5.5. The over-under is gross. It's 40 points.
Yeah.
But that gives New England about 23 of those.
That's fine.
Ramondre has been a dominant force. The last 3 weeks, he has 19 receptions. He's the RB6 since week three. And it really feels like, you know, the team is relying on him. You know, last week when you watched this offense, it was like Ramondre and Jacoby Myers was the entire moving of the football. So both of those players at home, even though the Colts defense is pretty formidable against both running back and wide receiver, I don't see how that convinces you to sit either of those players.
No, you can't sit Ramondre, who's been basically a top five running back since week three, and you can't sit Jacoby Myers, who's just the clear number one target in any kind of PPR setting. Those two guys are in the lineup. I don't know that I go anywhere else. I don't have the confidence to start Damian Harris.
Harris missed practice on Wednesday because of a illness.
Right. And I don't think we have the Thursday update on that. I would start an A.J. Dillon over a Damian Harris. Basically, they're both the backups, but one's got a much better matchup, and A.J. Dillon over Damian Harris. And I can't trust whether, you know, Tyquan Thornton, who's had, you know, his touchdown games, or Hunter Henry, like, you just don't know who the secondary target's going to be there. So the Patriots side of the ball is really, really easy. It's Ramondre and Jacoby, and that's it.
And the Colts defense, I mean, I know it's on the road here, but they have been vastly improving. They just got Shaq Leonard back. You know, they gave up,
that'll help.
They gave up 9 points to Denver. They gave up 19 to Tennessee. They gave up 17 to Washington last week, and it was 10 until the last play of the game, pretty much. They've just been playing a lot better, so I would not be surprised if this game was a pretty boring affair for fantasy, especially if Jonathan Taylor's not out there. You know, Sam Ehlinger trying to throw the ball to Michael Pittman. It's just going to be sad.
Yep.
It is going to be sad. I do believe that you could start Pittman. Last week, it was nice to see that he was the number one target in the offense, 9 targets. He was 7 for 53. You would have a very different viewpoint of Pittman if one of two things were different. He got the designed play near the goal line for him to get a touchdown. It was called a touchdown on the field. On review, it was like on the one-inch line. Didn't break the plane. If he gets that touchdown, you're looking at he had 9 targets, you know, 7 receptions, a touchdown, had a great week. And then at the end of the game on the drive back, he dropped a 30 or 40-yard ball that was put right in his hands. And so he gets that, and you're like, oh, 8 for 90, we're okay. Now, this matchup isn't great, but I do not think that Pittman is someone that I'm terrified of right now.
Yeah, I mean, that they were in desperation mode. I want to see him get the ball down the field regularly, not with whatever, under a minute to go. That would be nice because Pittman has that ability, and they're using him so close to the line of scrimmage. They're throwing the ball deep to Alec Pierce. This offense is going to be a problem. What's the record for the Titans right now?
I believe they're 5-2.
Wow. He's a good coach.
Yeah, Vrabel gets it done. He gets his guys to play hard and violent.
Buffalo, 6-1, taking on the 5-3 New York Jets, divisional matchup in New York. DraftKings Sportsbook line, Bills minus 12. The over-under is 47. I would I'd pay a lot of cold hard cash to have the Buffalo defense in this game against Zach Wilson, the circus clown that is. I mean, the music.
No.
Is he the
worst quarterback in the league?
Oh no!
No, he's not the worst quarterback in the league because he can ping pong between making a play and not making a play. The worst quarterbacks can't make plays and then they have a bad play. You know, like Zach Wilson, he's got some weapons. He got it into the end zone last week, and he was okay for fantasy, but he's the riskiest quarterback in the league. He holds the ball longer than anybody in the league. Buffalo will take advantage of all of his mistakes. Zach Wilson's goal in life is to roll backwards 17 yards to the right side of the field.
His favorite.
And chuck it back across his body or to the opponent.
Yeah, and the circus music plays every time that he starts rolling to the right.
Oh, there it is. Oh, that's the huddle music.
Yeah,
that's when he's in the huddle.
All right, guys, listen.
Zach Wilson's like, oh, that's my jam.
I think they would be a better team with Davis Mills, with PJ Walker.
Oh, man.
Certainly with Joe Flacco.
Well, Flacco got demoted to the third string last week and was very upset and confused by that. But he is not coming in anytime soon. This is going to be a brutal matchup. Now, what I'd like to look at for the Jets moving forward is if they're ineffective in the run game, which they were last week without Breece Hall, and they probably will be some degrees of ineffective
remainder of season.
Like James Robinson is not going to fix it because he's not Breece Hall. My curiosity is, will they do what they tried to do last week, which was, look, Zach Wilson threw for 355 yards. He had 41 pass attempts. They're going to get boat raced by the Buffalo offense, and you saw Garrett Wilson correlation. He had the best game of his year, his first over 100-yard game. Are they going to do more running through the air type of style to kind of make up for having no Breece Hall and with Garrett Wilson and company?
Well, they're going to have to, because I would imagine halfway through the second quarter, you're going to be down multiple scores. The Buffalo Bills are the best offense in the league, and I think they might be the best defense in the league. You're not going to be able to have a game plan that they instituted with Zach Wilson when they were winning games with Breece Hall, which is run and play great defense. Like we brought up on the Never Not Working, the Jets defense is legit, but the best defense in the league is not going to just close down the Buffalo Bills, not with Josh Allen and company there. So you're going to get scored on. Zach Wilson will drop back to pass. And I think Garrett Wilson's a fine play. Elijah Moore should be dropped. Elijah Moore
he's been replaced.
He's been replaced in the offense
by Denzel Mims. We had a report from Jeremy Fowler on ESPN saying the Jets are moving forward with Denzel Mims. He's now a part of the weekly game plan.
Elijah Moore was the 34th pick in the draft. Denzel Mims, also a second rounder, the 59th pick in the draft.
So Elijah Moore, just be patient. Your time will come in about 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, yeah, well said,
Mike. If he's on the Mims track.
Denzel Mims, not good enough to start. Elijah Moore, not involved enough to start. Corey Davis did not practice Wednesday. I doubt he plays. So that means Garrett Wilson should have a pretty darn good game.
Michael Carter or James Robinson. I'm going Michael Carter with the pass-catching work if I had to choose one.
Yep, until they show that James Robinson overtakes, which it could. It certainly could happen.
It could also not happen this season. I'm not projecting that, but I don't think it's absurd to think that Michael Carter is just the starter and they brought in James Robinson to back up Michael Carter.
On the other side, Stephon Diggs is in your lineup. Gabe Davis still had 7 targets. He's in your lineup.
Yep.
Khalil Shakir had no fantasy points last week. He played 29% of snaps. Isaiah McKenzie was up over 50%. And so you don't start those peripheral guys because you just don't know which one it's going to be. And Dawson Knox got into the end zone again. That takes away a little bit of the, he's gotten into the end zone 2 weeks in a row. They're going to look to him down there versus these other guys.
Yeah, the real question here is going to be at the running back position. Eyes are going to be on Devin Singletary and Nyheim Hines, and unfortunately you don't know how much you can learn this week because it's a short week for Nyheim Hines getting involved into the system. Because of that, I think if you need to start Devin Singletary, you can.
I would not be surprised if this game actually hit the under. You talked about the Jets defense, 9th against quarterbacks, 8th against wide receivers. They are at home. Mm-hmm. I would not make such a proclamation on the road, but I think it could be a little closer than that line even shows.
If the Bills don't get to 30 points, which I do think the Jets can hold them under 30, even if they're playing against a great Bills offense, then this line probably doesn't go over.
Mike, are you chasing Tyler Conklin's performance last week?
I mean, there's a world where you could have to stream him, but generally speaking, I don't want to.
Okay.
Him versus Dawson Knox is a very interesting question because Knox was there for fantasy the last 2 weeks because of the touchdown, but his stat line was 2 for 10.
Yeah. Yeah. But the Bills are the number one team against opposing tight ends. So
just saying, like, chasing the volume of
probably
Conklin,
just going to pick Allen in that situation.
Yeah.
What about Evan Engram or Tyler Conklin?
Oh, Evan Engram. Engram. By a lot.
Yeah.
Why by a lot?
He's been really involved in the offense
and
lately.
They're playing the Raiders, if I'm not mistaken.
Conklin, he's been involved again. I mean, he's got 16 targets over the last 2 weeks and 10 catches.
It comes down to what is the game script? Do they open it up again like they did last week, or do they try and turtle?
Okay. All right. We'll see. Yep. He is. I think part of his involvement is the same thing with Garrett Wilson. It's like, we can't run the ball.
Yeah, for
can't
sure.
run the ball. So Tyler Conklin is a big, juicy target that you can pretend to run the ball with.
Sure.
All the rankings, the start sit tool on the website, thefantasyfootballers.com. It's time for our starts.
Starts of the week.
I'm going with Aaron Rodgers against Detroit.
Nice.
I like it.
See? We're in.
It's get right time for Aaron Rodgers. Might get Lazard back. Will already have Aaron Jones in the passing game. The Lions defense is allowing the most points per game, the most total yards per game, the most net yards per pass attempt. It's delicious. It's like playing a practice squad team.
Yeah, no, I think this is a perfect get right situation. In division, he knows that team very well. At quarterback, I'm going with Tua. At Chicago, fantasy points per game, Tua has been very, very good. You got to factor in those injuries he had early in the year and when he left, if you're looking at season-long rankings. Otherwise, he's the quarterback 7 right behind Kyler Murray. The last 2 weeks, the quarterback 11, the quarterback 1, he's heating up, and I think he's about to be on fire. Mike McDaniel's letting him force-feed the two fastest men on the planet. And since week 4, Chicago is the 24th in schedule-adjusted fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. Last week, it was Dak and the Cowboys shredding them. I think Miami's going to score a ton of points.
That is a team that shows up red against quarterbacks right now, Chicago.
Right.
They show up as a better top 15 defense in platforms. But what you just said, since week 4, 24th in schedule-adjusted, important to know because that could make you make a wrong decision about Justin Herbert versus Tua.
And now minus Roquan.
And my quarterback star of the week, what have I told you?
Of course it is.
It's the quarterback two over the last month, which is a little disingenuous to stat because some guys didn't play four games yet. But
you talk about Al Borland's new starting quarterback?
It is factual that over the last month, Justin Fields is the quarterback two over the last 2 weeks, top five, and that was against the Patriots and Dallas. Like, that is a sensational turnaround for the second-year quarterback. He's got the rushing baseline, nearly 10 attempts a game, over 50 yards a game on the ground. Miami tied with the Lions for allowing the highest completion percentage. And I got him as a top 10 play this week. And if you pick him up to stream from the stream of the week, you're looking pretty nice over the next couple weeks.
All right, let's try this again. I'm going Raheem Mostert at running back for my start of the week, taking on those Chicago Bears. Mostert last week, it wasn't like he was bad. He just didn't get targeted in the passing game and didn't get into the end zone. And that did not give you a big enough fantasy week for what you wanted in that matchup against Detroit. Just didn't go his direction. Mostert, I think he belongs in your lineup because the Chicago Bears are allowing the second most rushing yards per game. He, you know, Jeff Wilson will arrive. He will not usurp Raheem Mostert.
And I'm going with a running back start of the week that I don't want to go with because he's in tonight's game against me, Miles Sanders.
Yeah, that's not a good place to be.
Miles Sanders has a great matchup against an awful run D, if you can even call them a run defense. He's had over 70 yards the last couple games. The game script looks perfect for him, and I really, really hope that he has a bad game and makes this look like a dumb start of the week. But usually in our league of record this year, my opponents have gone hog wild with their scoring, so that's another point in his favor.
So you really hope all the Foot Clan listens to you and then they fail? Is that what you said?
I am telling them.
I think that's what you said.
That if you want to have a lot of fantasy points, start Miles Sanders because he's playing against me.
Okay. All right.
Aaron Jones, I heard him say,
I hope that he fails and
that
you look stupid.
I want them to take joy in my inevitable sadness.
It makes sense. Aaron Jones against Detroit over the last 2 weeks. We're getting back on track here. Running back 4, 18 opportunities. Running back 11, 25 opportunities. Lions 31st in schedule adjusted fantasy points to the running back position. Last year you had the Aaron Jones game, 4 touchdowns against these Detroit Lions. It looks like the ship is being brought upright here for Aaron Jones, and I think we can reliably play him at least for this week.
He is one of the few players in the game where every time you watch him play football, you know he's different than the other players around him. We used to talk about Dalvin Cook that way. Aaron Jones is ridiculously good. Terry McLaurin is going to be my wide receiver start of the week.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, I love it.
Believe it or not, the Commanders have won 3 in a row.
And I don't believe it.
And the connection between McLaurin and Heinicke, it's legitimate. 26% target share. Jahan Dotson's not practicing. Curtis Samuel is not a traditional wide receiver. He's more of a gadgety guy that, you know, you could use him down the field. You can use him behind the line of scrimmage. Minnesota secondary, very vulnerable, 28th against fantasy wide receivers, second highest yards per attempt allowed. And Terry McLaurin is just too good. I mean, he's a really, really good player, and if you're going to give him a shot, which is what Heinicke is willing to do, you're going to have enough success regardless of what the Manders do. I'm going TMC.
I hope Carson Wentz is watching.
Just what? To force feed.
Yeah, like, look what happens when you give your top played elite wide receiver a bunch of targets. You win football games.
I'll bet there's more to it than just that for winning, but I do hope he comes back and targets Terry McLaurin the same.
Or he doesn't come back.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, look.
They're winning, right?
Heinicke has started 18 games or something now in the last few years.
Yeah.
He always gets in.
And they don't usually win those games. Joshua Palmer is my wide receiver start of the week.
Okay, let's go.
Hopefully you stashed him before the bye. You picked him up on waivers this week. He seems like a very good start. This is a guy who saw 12 targets in week 6. And since week 2, he's been seeing 7 targets a game. Now Mike Williams is out. Keenan Allen looks to be on target for 2023. He's going to have a great return next year. But he's probably going to be out this week. And the Falcons rank dead last in schedule-adjusted fantasy points allowed to wide receivers and project to be without their best cornerbacks. So Josh Palmer should be able to get it done in Atlanta.
And my wide receiver start, it's Christian Kirk. It's been a wild year here for Christian. It started on fire. It felt like you had the steal of the draft. Then the Jaguars, just as a team, kind of fell apart. But he still leads the team in targets per route run, receptions. And like the matchup says everything, right? It's the Raiders, 28th versus fantasy wide receivers if you adjust for the schedule. And looking back at where Christian Kirk has kind of failed, you get it. Like the Denver Broncos, the Colts, who, like we had said, they at the beginning of the year, it was rough, but they've sort of turned it around. The Houston Texans, I can't really explain that one. But the Philadelphia Eagles, a bad game for Christian Kirk. So it when you look at the box score and the opponent, things are starting to make sense why certain games weren't so strong. But he should have a good one against the Vegas Raiders.
All right, to finish it up, tight end. I'm going with Zach Ertz against Seattle because Seattle is the worst against the tight end position.
Yeah.
Even if you look at recently, you look at schedule adjusted, they're the worst. Kyler looks for Zach Ertz in the red zone outside of DeAndre Hopkins. Ertz is the most trusted target in the offense, and with Hollywood not there, Ertz has not had to go into retirement as a focal point. I think it's just going to be another great game at home for Zach Ertz.
I'm going to take my tight end start of the week, catching passes from your quarterback start of the week. I'm going with Robert Tonyan in Detroit. Bobby T should have a good week. He's been pegged as someone that has been a touchdown or bust guy. But the receptions are actually flowing. He has the fifth most tight end receptions, despite being eased in at the beginning of the year. He has a 21% target share over the last 3 weeks, but only one touchdown on the year. That is obviously where he makes his bread and butter. And this is a matchup where if you say, well, Aaron Rodgers should finally throw three touchdowns, it's going to be in this game. If he throws three, Bobby T's getting one. And you know how bad the Lions' defense is. They're allowing the most points per game, the most total yards. They rank 30th in schedule-adjusted fantasy points to tight end. So they're bad, and they're bad at this position.
I'm going with Gerald Everett against the Atlanta Falcons. Mike Williams is out. Keenan Allen likely to be out. And Everett, he's been pretty constant, pretty consistent for this team. He ranks 4th among tight ends and red zone targets, 5th in slot snaps, which is – those are oh so delightful. The snap percentage has kind of gone down the last couple of weeks, but even still, when he went down last week to 56% of the snaps, he still saw 9 targets. I think there is a chance that those snaps have to go up this weekend against the Atlanta Falcons, who are allowing the 4th most points per game and the most passing yards per game. I'm putting Everett in.
I'm really surprised none of you guys went with my new tight end, Travis Kelce, as your start of the week. That's a little... I'm a little discouraged about that. You guys don't think he's going to have a good game?
No. He'll have a great game.
I hope he does. I hope he has a great game. I think he will. Go get him, champ.
Jason Moore's Ironclad, Locked and Loaded, 100% guaranteed boom, boom kicker of the week.
Ripped and shredded. I soon was headed to an evil lair to put out some fires. A mysterious villain was there chilling, holding hostage the Seahawks' Jason Myers.
I am very confused.
See, I was going to say that's the first time I've been able to track it all year.
Yeah, well, Mike's a dumber.
There's a villain?
I'm tracking the story.
Okay.
But you are saying... there is a villain.
Yeah, It's and mysterious.
And Jason Myers is being held hostage.
That is correct.
How is someone supposed to be the boom, boom kicker of the week while they are a captive?
What do you think my ripped and shredded body is about to do here, Mike? I'm about to set Jason Myers free to score more than 1.5 field goals this week.
Oh, have you guys pivoted your kicker over-unders?
Evan McPherson is dead to me.
Oh, okay.
But Jason Myers is my new hero.
He went from a lock to not a lock real quick.
Yeah, well, he let me down big time. And so, this is a selfish game we play. Go Jason Myers.
Well, I've got good news for you, Jason. This episode of the show is concluding, which means the next episode is the one in which you will spin the Wheel of Shame. The rest of the matchups tomorrow, the Wheel of Shame, Fantasy Face-Off.
It's also the episode that I will come in here either really happy or really tilted. Foot Clan, if you want to root alongside me, my matchup tonight is insane. I have Jalen Hurts I have Devonta Smith and the Eagles defense, and I am facing Miles Sanders, A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, and Damian Pierce. Like, half of our players are in tonight's game.
I feel like you need a boo button and a cheer button, and you just go back and forth hitting those.
And it will be on every single play.
All right, that is it for today's episode, Foot Clan. Definitely check out jointhefoot.com. Become a supporter of our independent podcast. We'll catch you tomorrow.
See you later, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.